get a complete picture of what Japan has done up to this time. And as is necessary background to some evaluation of the strategy of the Japanese and their apparent objectives, here is a compilation from official and unofficial accounts of events to date. Honolulu, bombed twice. A lumber-laden U.S. Army transport torpedoed 1,300 miles west of San Francisco. And another American transport reported in distress. Shanghai's international settlement seized. The U.S. gunboat Wake captured. And British gunboat Petrel destroyed. Capture of the U.S. island of Wake. Bombing of the American island of Guam. Bombing of many points throughout the Philippine Islands. Invasion of northern Malaya and bombing of Singapore. Invasion of Thailand and bombing of Bangkok. The first U.S. casualty list report 104 dead and more than 300 injured in the army at Hickam Field alone near Honolulu. There was heavy damage in the Honolulu residential district, and the death list among civilians is large but uncounted. The German radio reports that a sea battle between the Japanese Navy on one side and the British and the United States on the other is in progress in the Western Pacific, with a third U.S. warship hit in addition to the West Virginia and Oklahoma, said to have been hit in Pearl Harbor. American destroyers were seen steaming full speed from Pearl Harbor in pursuit of Japanese aircraft carriers, from which planes are believed to have been launched in their attack on Honolulu. Spectators reported seeing splashes in the ocean indicating an engagement. You will be kept informed of important developments just as soon as received here, but it might be helpful at this stage to try and get some idea of the Japanese strategy and main objectives. The attacks on all American and British outposts in the West and Central Pacific indicate the main aims of the Japanese first assault are to try and cripple as many units of the American Pacific Fleet as possible. And second, since these attacks were aimed with the purpose of crippling American forces, to concentrate main attacks on the Malaya Peninsula in an attempt which will apparently soon be made to strike with full force at Singapore. Singapore is the key to the Pacific. If Japan should succeed in taking Singapore, and she will have to fight as she has never fought before to take it, she would divide British and American naval forces in the Pacific. From Singapore, or on Singapore, Japan could base planes for attacks on all American and British shipping and naval forces. Thus, briefly, the Japanese plan of attack seems to be to hit at the American forces to prevent them from joining with the British and then to concentrate on the strong British naval base. The next few hours or days will reveal whether this analysis is correct, but it is apparent that the hit-and-run raids on Hawaii and Philippines could have had no other purpose. To stage an invasion of those American islands, sustained and continuous attacks would be necessary. This the Japanese have not undertaken and probably cannot do so, because aircraft carriers needed to make these attacks are vulnerable to American flyers and naval vessels. I think it necessary to ask why Japan should, at this stage, have dared to attack the United States and Britain. For months, Japan has hesitated despite the fact that Japan has been an Axis power of Germany and Italy from the very beginning of the anti-Comintern pact. Despite the fact that Germany has been urging Japan to attack the United States for months, Japan still hesitates. Germany must have fed Japan that if she attacked the United States, German planes and submarines and officers and men would help. Just a little while ago, a bulletin has come from Washington saying that the White House has received an unconfirmed report that some of the planes which attacked American outposts in the Pacific bore the Nazi swastika. During the past few days, there have been reports of German merchant raiders and even German warships in the Pacific. It is apparent that Hitler is using Japan as a spearhead to attack the United States for this reason. Britain and Russia are being sustained in their fight against Germany and the Axis by the aid of the United States. With the United States engaged in war in the Pacific, Hitler hopes that the United States Navy will be so busy there that American aid and convoy in the Atlantic will be reduced. Russia, aided by the United States and Britain, receives aid by three routes. One is by Archangel and Murmansk. Finland joined the Axis by German compulsion in order to maintain a line for attack against Murmansk and Archangel. Second, American aid goes by way of Vladivostok, with Japan and the war of Vladivostok located in the Japanese Sea is now completely out of the question. Third, American aid goes by way of Persia. This means that ships must cross the Pacific and the Indian Ocean to the Persian waters. If Singapore is attacked or captured, that route becomes hazardous. Thus, Hitler believes he can cripple Russia and hasten her defeat. The liability of dragging the United States into an act of war, however, will make Hitler and Japan and the Axis soon realize their mistake, or there may be a temporary curtailment of effort in aid of Britain and Russia. But President Roosevelt and the nation now united behind him will see their production and other efforts are so increased as to provide not only aid for those countries, but equip the forces needed in defense of this country against Japan and the Axis powers.
Thank you, Mr. Hillman. You have just heard William Hillman, noted commentator and expert on foreign affairs. We take you now to the NBC newsroom in San Francisco. NBC in New York, calling the NBC newsroom in San Francisco.
By the Chinese government tomorrow, it reads, quote, the American people and the Chinese people are now fighting for the same cause against a common enemy. And the Chinese people will stand by. We Chinese have demonstrated our will, our courage and capacity for resistance to the aggressor. And we are sure our friends, the American people, will do the same thing. End quote. The first official declaration from any government in regard to standing by America in this crisis. Here is a second scoop. The telegram to the President of the United States by the Japanese American League, comprising most of the citizens of Japanese ancestry of the Pacific Coast. The Japanese Americans are stunned, it reads, and terrified, and horrified, rather, at this morning's unwarranted attack by Japan upon American soil, our country. We want to convey to you, Mr. President, that we unequivocally condemn Japan for this unprecedented breach of good faith. On behalf of 150,000 members in the 56 chapters of our National Japanese American Citizens League, we unreservedly volunteer the facilities of our office to the defense of this land against this attack. In this solemn hour, we pledge our fullest cooperation to you, Mr. President, and to our country. We appreciate the efforts you have made to preserve peace in the Pacific. But now that Japan has instituted this attack upon our land, we are ready and prepared to expend every effort to repel this invasion together with our fellow Americans. Signed, the Japanese American Citizens League, Saburo Kido, President. Mr. Kido, in a private statement, adds that the Japanese citizens of the Japanese American League, its citizens, are confident that they can hold their parents to equal
loyalty to America. They say that even these aliens who can never become American citizens are horrified at the manner in which the military of Japan have attacked American soil. These two scoops we bring you to climax the first day of war. Thank you. Now we want to give you an added attraction for the evening. We're going to pass you to Mr. Bert Stylin in Manila. We hope you come in.
And in the afternoon. It is a particularly warm day here, and I don't mean that as a pun. The sun has been shining strongly throughout the day, which has made activities here warm indeed. A feeling of impending things to come has gripped the populace here. And while there is no hysteria or frantic efforts to evacuate the city, a subdued atmosphere prevails everywhere. The tactics of the Japanese forces in striking first at Pearl Harbor, then at Davao, Baguio, Atari, north of Manila, in Guam, in Hong Kong, in Borneo, Singapore, and Thailand are mystifying, to say the least. It would appear from these tactics that the attacks this morning were to hide the real concentration of Japanese forces. If such is the case, no word has yet reached Manila where those Japanese forces might be. While Manila has so far been free from bombing, there is a general air of expectancy, and many believe that Manila will receive its baptism of fire sometime during the night or early morning. As a precautionary measure, all broadcasting stations and other forms of radio communication have been ordered to cease as of 5:30 p.m. Manila time, which is approximately 2 hours from now. Broadcasting will be resumed again at 6:30 tomorrow morning. It is expected, however, that the circuits between the Philippines and the United States will be kept open if at all possible, and we will do our best to keep you informed as to what is going on in this part of the world. As soon as darkness overtakes us, we will move into our bomb-proof broadcasting room. And should it be possible to do so, we will broadcast from there to you during the night. As I stated earlier today, all of the Japanese in Manila have been rounded up and are now concentrated in the grounds of the Nippon Club in the southern portion of Manila. During the roundup of the Japanese this morning, two were shot dead resisting arrest. One Japanese was foolish enough to try to reach a hidden revolver that he was carrying on his person. But before he could draw it, a shot from a soldier's rifle ended his resistance. The police have orders to shoot to kill any Japanese loitering around any public building in the city. It was announced just a little while ago. All day today, U.S. Army planes have been flying overhead, which at first gave many people a jitter, but later proved to have a soothing effect when they found out they were American planes. No orders for compulsory evacuation of non-essential men, women, and children out of Manila have yet been given, as it is felt that for the time being at least, it is just as safe here as anywhere. The Japanese have apparently concentrated on military objectives, as our bombings this morning were aimed at airfields and troop concentrations. No wildly aimed bombs have fallen to do damage to civilian or unmilitary objectives. Talk of strict censorship has been heard from various sources, but no official notification of the same has yet reached our hands. All messages emanating from Manila, however, must be in plain English, without use of code or foreign words. President Quezon, this afternoon, ordered the closing of all schools in the Philippines. Again, let me say that the people of Manila throughout the Philippines are calm and confident that Uncle Sam's armed forces will be equal to the task of repelling invaders. To those people listening in who have relatives and friends in the Philippines, I want to give my assurance that they are all well and as comfortable as could be expected under the circumstances. While all the attacks up to this time seem to be on the part of the Japanese, we are all confident that the time will soon come when we will be able to report attacks and counterattacks by American forces on Japanese objectives.
The information just received that the Japanese airplane carrier, which was operating off the coast of Hawaii, has just been sunk by American forces, has been most encouraging indeed. I can only add my voice to that of the 16 million people of the Philippines who have been tasked to say in all sincerity, keep them flying. This is Bert Dyland speaking, now returning you to NBC.
Gentlemen, we interrupt this broadcast and take you now to Washington. Here is a bulletin from Singapore. Anzac soldiers are reported engaged in bitter hand-to-hand fighting with Japanese expeditionary troops, which fought their way from the sea to a landing on the Malay Peninsula, 350 miles north of the vital Singapore naval base. Well, here in Washington, it's a little after 2 a.m., about 20 minutes past. The Capitol is just beginning to snatch a few hours' rest before the morning. Tense and sober, the first night of war. With almost lightning speed, Washington has become a wartime feed. 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 Washington has become a... The traffic is mostly official calm the White House. The rest of the city is at home, glued to the radios, like the rest of the world, wondering what will happen next. Almost all civilian activity ceased before 11 p.m. It was about 10:30 p.m. that the civilian defense head here in Washington broadcast a message to all air raid wardens in the city to post watchers on every block during the night. Driving lights were ordered dim. All citizens were asked to reduce illumination to a bare minimum after midnight. Just about 2 a.m., a few citizens still lingered outside the White House, just kind of standing, even though the White House staff had gone home shortly after the president's conference with congressional leaders. That conference had broke up shortly before 11 o'clock. Reinforced White House guards have been issued Tommy guns and placed in strategic positions around the executive chamber. Heavily armed, steel-helmeted, bayonet-affixed soldiers are standing guard at the War Department and other strategic buildings. Ought to be very much on the alert and be very much on the alert and be very much on the alert and be very much on the alert. Any act of treachery. Remain indoors and off the necessary business outside. Motorists have been cautioned to avoid the use of streets and roads unless absolutely necessary. Down in the Federal Triangle, many of the big governments, but away from the heart of the downtown district, out next still burn in the Japanese embassy on guard. And yet a few curious people stand around in front of the embassy since 4 this afternoon, many of them taking pickbook in. One early morning paper here in Washington carries a picture of 3 embassy employees burning papers in a bonfire out in back of the embassy this afternoon. Presumably, papers the embassy wouldn't like to have fall into the hands of the American government. Well, that's Washington tonight, as the nation waits for the president's message at the joint session of Congress at noon. We'll return you now to New York.
Let's see, newsroom. Washington has ordered a 24-hour patrol of its Pacific coast. The Mexican embassy was advised today from Mexico City to proceed at once. We take you now.
From San Francisco of the String,
Long Orchestra.
Three Granados,
that had its debut at 16.
An opera house in 19. One of his most celebrated and beautiful.
Carl Collister works.
Carl Collister works.
Carl Collister works.
National Broadcasting Company.
WJZ.
On Hollywood Boulevard and in the very heart of Hollywood, California, with a little old girlfriend named